What's up? This is Movies On Up. Make every death count. I try to make every day count when I am seated across from my co-host, Mr. Dave Becella.
I count down every day until the end.
That's the incredibly upbeat Mr. Dave. I am Ryan. We are Movies On Up. Make every death count is our tagline for this week. If you think you know, I guess I shouldn't even say this week because we're doing two episodes a week. For this episode of this week, if you think you know what movie that comes from, send your guess to us in one of the following ways. You can email us, moviesonup@gmail.com. You can leave your guess on our Facebook page, facebook.com/moviesonup, or tweet your guess to us @moviesonup on the Twitter. If you are correct and if we choose you, you will have a happy day when you roll down to the mailbox and get a prize package from Movies On Up. This week, it is our second installment of our top 20 favorite Final Girls. So we're going to run down 15 through 11. Just quickly to run down last week's Barbara from Night of the Living Dead, 1990. Adelaide Wilson from Us. Jay Height from It Follows. Ginny from Friday the 13th, Part 2. And Anna from The Guest. That is 20 through 16. And we rank these characters in three categories. Their sequel score, pretty self-explanatory. How many movies do our final girls appear in? This week, we're actually going to have our first final girl that comes back for a sequel, so that will come into play later on in the episode. A killer score, where we rate the killer trying to kill the final girl, and our capability score, just how well our final girls handle themselves. All of those are on a 1 to 5. And when we add up those points, that gives us our total. The person that has our lowest total this week is actually a movie and a character we both like an awful lot. And that is Katie Siegel's Maddie from Hush, which was a movie that came out just a couple years ago. Randomly stumbled onto on Netflix. Absolutely loved it. Unfortunately, Maddie does not get a high sequel score as there is only one. So she has a one there. A killer score of 2.5.
Just a dude.
We had kind of set 3 as like a very capable slasher killer. Just a dude is going to have to be lower than that. Although Maddie comes in with an incredibly respectable 4.5 as a capability score.
Overcoming her deafness.
She is handy capable.
She is deaf, and she does a lot to overcome that and overcome John Gallagher, is his name?
Yes.
He was one of those. He had that year where it seemed like he was going to be in everything moving forward, and then this and Cloverfield Lane were pretty much it.
Something that we talk about an awful lot is some of these final girls are literally just, they're on their own. Maddie is stuck in this house by herself. The only person that she has any kind of relationship with is the neighbor, yeah, who ends up dead pretty early on. It is literally Maddie in a fight for her life. She's either going to survive or she's going to die. There is no other way out, like sleep with a random stranger and you're going to be fine. So the fact that she survived, she had to be very capable. So she got a 4.5, which gives her a total score of 8.0.
And this was Mike Flanagan.
Yes.
Like, he directed this. This is his wife. Mm-hmm. You would recognize her from House on Haunted Hill, from Mike Flanagan. It's a really good movie. It's probably one of our lesser seen movies on this list.
I would probably say, yeah.
If you haven't seen it, look for Hush. She does really, really well.
And this might have been where, I don't want to say Flanagan had a McAvoy turn. He didn't. But this might have been where we really started to pay attention to him.
Well, this is where we started to notice him. Because, like, I had seen Oculus before.
Right.
This made us pay attention to him. Like, when something like Oculus comes out, me and you aren't generally going to pay attention to it. But this we stumbled on, and both... That's where Flanagan's name really started to stick out to us.
Yeah, and now, you know, he's got Dr. Sleep this year, so he's making a sequel to The Shining, which is one of the most well-known...
Second season of Haunting.
Yeah, yeah. So he's got a lot of stuff. He had done
Gerald's
Oculus,
Game,
Absentia before Hush, but this is kind of where he really... Gerald's Game was just the next year. He had Hush in 2016, Before I Wake, Ouija, Origin of Evil, all in 2016, then Gerald's Game, and he's been really off and running since then. But this is not a Mike Flanagan episode, though.
It's his wife.
we try and turn everything into a Mike Flanagan episode. Our number 14 is a character that shares the same capability score. So we're starting off with our two most capable final girls this week, and that is Sharni Vincent's Erin from You're Next. Sequel score of 1. There's only one You're Next. killer score of 2.75 just because of the multitude.
There's a lot of them. There's a handful of them.
There's a handful of just peoples. So it had to be a little bit more dangerous than just one not so masked intruder.
Yeah, and you got to get, I think the surprise factor has to be a large part of it too. Like just a family dinner. And then, oh, now there's killers there. So, like, you didn't go to dinner thinking, like, I'm probably going to kill some people today.
No.
Whereas, like, a slasher, it's like, oh, I can't go to sleep because I will have to fight a slasher. So, I think the surprise element, like, yeah, they are just dudes, but there's a lot of them, and they have that element of surprise, and you're trapped.
Yeah, I think there's certainly something to be said for that. I can't really say that that went into the scoring. I like complex things. I like needlessly complex things. I don't think I wanted to consider the element of surprise. I was simply just looking at what the danger level is, whether you knew it was coming or not. I mean, I think a lot of these people, Barbara, for example, probably did not expect to be attacked by a zombie in a graveyard. I think most of these folks did not expect what was about to happen to them. But just being the fact that Erin was able to overcome more foes than Maddie, she edges her out with a total score of 8.25. Which brings us to our first final girl from a movie that Dave hates. And that movie is Feast. And our heroine is technically Heroine 2, also known as Tuffy, played by Krista Allen, sequel score of 1 because she was only in the first one. You could make the argument that the biker mom chick from 2 and 3 probably should be on this list instead, but here's the thing.
I won't make any arguments in defense of Feast.
Dave hates Feast, so if I was trying to stretch that and put Feast 2 and 3 on here, I would have a real issue. So,
I really hate this movie. It's from the first season of Project Greenlight.
Right.
What? Not the first season. No, first season was Battle of Shaker Heights.
Okay.
It was the first non-HBO season. And I watched that season, and you had this really cool director, and then you had these goofy screenwriters. I did not agree with the director-screenwriter combo. I thought it was a bad mix, and I don't think it worked. Was it John Gulager, I think?
Yes.
And then the dudes have built a solid career. They did Piranha, not the first one. They did 3DD. They've written a lot of stuff, but I just did not like the director-writer combination of this. And I just hate this movie so much.
Patrick Melton wrote Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark this year. So obviously still working. Yeah, this is very much a frat boy kind of monster movie. The monsters, perhaps I was generous, but those things they're scary looking. Pretty agile. Yeah, really sharp teeth and claws. So I gave them a killer score of 4, which is on par with the names that you're going to know. And a capability score for Tuffy of 3.5, which gives her an 8.5. So she's right in the middle of the pack this week. That's about as much trouble as I'm going to get in this week. The next two movies, I know Dave happens to like a lot. And they were both on his list originally, so I know it's going to be okay. And our number 12 is Kristen Connolly's Dana from Cabin in the Woods, sequel score of just 1. It's very tough to make a sequel.
When it's the end of the world.
Yes. You want to talk about an apocalyptic movie. Dana essentially welcomes the apocalypse. I don't want to say she goes out of her way. Yeah, doesn't go out of her way to create it, but she certainly doesn't do anything to stop it. So yeah, there's only going to be one of those. Killer score of 4.
What is
the killer?
The end of the world? I would put 5 because there was a lot of stuff. The merman.
Yeah, there was a lot.
There was a lot. And then the devil. Like, there was a lot to go against in this one.
There's a lot going against
Bradley Whitford.
Honestly, there's only one thing on this entire list that gets higher than a 4. Spoiler alert. It's our number 1. So the fact that this is 4, that's just about as high as it gets. You know, that's pretty much pegged. I didn't go higher than that, so I still feel like 4 is okay. And then a capability score of 3.75. Not quite the level of Maddie and Erin, but last week we talked about the tropes of a final girl. Every character in this movie is a trope by design.
By design. You have Hemsworth is just
the jock.
The jock. Fran Kranz is the nerd. Mm-hmm. That's how the movie is made. It's not a mistake. It's not a...
It's important to the ritual.
Yeah, not... Yeah. Like, it's... this movie's so good. I haven't seen it in so long, and I want to... Now I just want to go watch it.
It is really good. Cabin in the Woods movies in general. Evil Dead kind of came to mind. The new Evil Dead.
Mia with...
Right. I had a tough time with that because she spends a great deal of the movie as a possessed Deadite.
Deadite, yeah.
Yeah. So it was very hard for me to assign what her capability is, because essentially she became possessed. She got better, so to speak. That Cabin in the Woods movie, very clearly made by people that love horror and understand the tropes of horror and able to subvert them. We're going to have a movie in about a week that does a really good job of subverting horror too. I think it takes somebody that really knows and respects the genre to be able to do that and to make a movie that doesn't piss horror fans off. And this one doesn't. I mean, if you look at best horror movies of the last 20 years, you're going to see Cabin in the Woods a lot. This is essentially what got Chris Hemsworth the job of Thor when he was on this.
Produced by Joss Whedon.
Right. Joss asked him, why aren't you auditioning for Thor? They still hadn't cast him. He was like, well, I guess I will. And the next thing you know, we have Chris Hemsworth, who's been a fantastic Thor, and he's had a nice career. And that is all thanks to Cabin in the Woods. Which will bring us to our number 11 and our final girl for this week. The first final girl that appears in multiple movies, and that is Jessica Roth's Tree Gelbman from Happy Death Day 1 and 2. Sequel score of 3, as she was in two movies. I tried to heavily weight this because it makes you that much more of a badass if you're able to be a final girl multiple times, let alone...
Multiple times.
Exactly, right, the amount of times Tree dies. Now, this is what hurt her. The killer score of 2.
It's the doctor. Spoiler alert.
Right. In the first one, it's her roommate with the poison cupcake. Pretty innocuous killers. Certainly not anything the level of even like the random intruder was a 2.5 or a group of random and 2.75. Killers. 2.75. Yeah. So it couldn't be that. So she had to have a score of 2, which kept her from cracking into the top 10. Capability score, however, pretty respectable. 4.
Yeah, she also had a lot of help. In the second one, especially.
Yes, she did have a lot of help, but it was more smarts.
Yeah.
Because the second one is much more of a science fiction. Yeah, weird science.
Yeah, see, this one, I'm kind of shocked for her to be here, because on my list, I didn't do the formula stuff. I kind of ranked them on, like, favorites and quality, yes. And she was my 4th.
I love her.
Yeah, she's so good. Her performance in these movies are great, because Tree Gelbman is such an unlikable character at the beginning. She does such a good job of just making you hate that character, but then she grows and really shines, and she's so likable. Her performance is so good in these movies, and apparently we're not getting a third one, which is a bummer. But I would watch her in this role all the time, and I hope that she gets a lot of work from here. Like, I want to see her in a lot of stuff.
I like her an awful lot, and we've been pounding the drum for Happy Death Day since the first one came out. If we were taking into account how much we like the movies or how much we like the characters, she would be much, much higher. There are characters that we're going to talk about next week that I do not like nearly as much. It's not uncommon for a final girl to be relatively meek at the beginning of the movie, and by the end of the movie, she's got the confidence to overcome what's trying to kill her. And that's certainly the case with Tree. But she also has character growth that you would see in like a drama, where somebody starts as a not good person. They have a catharsis and become one.
Bill Murray in Groundhog.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, that's the easiest example, because this movie is just
a repetition too.
Survivor girl Groundhog Day.
Yeah, so that's a character that we love. But when it came to actually assigning, and the only thing that hurt her is just the fact that the baby killers are one of the weaker ones on the list.
That's a good mask, though. That's a really
good mask. It's creepy mask, yeah,
absolutely. That's a really good mask.
Yeah. I mean, if she had just a 3... she would have made it into the top 10. That's really the only thing that held her back. But the movie's great. So if you haven't seen Happy Death Day, certainly check that out. The sequel, if you're a really big fan of the first one, check it out.
Still a lot of fun.
Yeah. You can certainly do a lot worse on this list. I feel like this week, between maybe Cabin in the Woods, which I think is underseen, Feast, which I'm sure you're
overseen.
Yeah, well, if anybody has seen it.
I've seen it, so it's overseen.
Hush, probably underseen. So we've had some smaller movies this week. Next week, we're going to be into some franchises at this point.
The sequel score really starts to kick in.
Right, that you're very, very familiar with. And that's really kind of what separates our top 10 from our bottom 10. It is sequel score. That's a way to jump up really,
really
quickly.
There's only one left that's in one movie. And I haven't seen the list. I know who the 20 are, but I don't know the order. And there's only one left that's only in one movie. But it's a franchise.
And you will know who that is because we're going to get to her soon next week.
Our number 10 final girl.
Yes, she just cracked the top 10 to find out who that final girl is.
If you're psychic, you already know.
Very, very good. Davis hit the nail on the head. You guys are just left to ponder this week what will be our top 10 final girl. Later on in the week, we're going to do our Happy Death Day 2. Yes, indeed. We're going to do an episode on that. As we said, this year was a good year for horror, although this is more on the sci-fi. But Tree makes the list. She made this portion of our list, 15 through 11. So we thought we'd just go ahead and talk a little bit more about her movie. I'm sure we'll talk a little bit about the first one as well. That'll be up at the end of this week. And then next week, we're into the top 10. So to find out who made the top 10, come back next week. But until then,
keep it up.